Blog Talk Radio.
Swerve City, whoa. Before I even go there, right, we got 60 minutes before we start to make everybody get in front of a TV screen and wait to see who is crowned champion. Now, I'm gonna actually keep it a little personal, because on a personal note, one of my biggest followers in life, my big brother for real, my real brother, we have a battle tonight. And this is outside of what everybody has their sights set on. My big brother, Quincy, he's a diehard Chicago Bulls fan. I'm a diehard Oklahoma City Thunder fan. So I know you're listening. It's Jimmy Butler versus Russell. Well, we're coming to Chicago, so the game is on. I hope I can get there, but I don't think we have enough. I think we got enough just for the playoff wild card round and things that are going to take place in this national championship. But stay tuned, Sports City. We got 60 minutes with y'all. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you chewing? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, hit him while wifey was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Love taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my waist. Francis, M to the is a phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body your domino. So I could buy a few cars, then I kick a few flows, so I could pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence, never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, back done.
Okay. So today I really couldn't do that whole first. I don't need no help right there. Like that whole first, I could just get all of that Christopher in me. Rest in peace to the notorious B.I.G. And as of it being the 9th of January, 2 months from today, it will be 20 years since he was shot and killed in Los Angeles. I still remember that Sunday morning. I remember my mother waking me up every day saying, Biggie got killed. So shout out to Christopher Wallace. I can't believe 20 years have gone that fast. The call number is 917-889-9592. Thank you to everybody for showing us love, listening, whether on iTunes, getting them downloads on that Apple, or coming right here to Sports City and doing their thing like they need to. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, my co-host, my brother Tommy B. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm here. I'm good. I'm here. Let's just put it that way. Ty, you know what I'm going through right now. And didn't ever think it would ever happen.
Hey, we're going to sit here. We're going to enjoy a national championship type of day. And like I said, I know that I got stuff that's like off of the main dish right now, but I'm paying attention to it. I don't know if people seen the movie Next Friday. I know people seen Friday. People seen Friday After Next. But if you ever seen Next Friday, the second one, where Sticky Fingers comes out and says, yes, the rematch, come on, it's the rematch. Well, the rematch is going down tonight. Clemson and Alabama, we will be jumping into all of that. Sports City, I apologize on behalf of what went down yesterday with the brunch. A lot of things were going on outside of the kitchen. Had to take a day out, but we will address a lot of everything that was going on throughout the weekend. And I am not dodging any bullets by the Detroit Lions and them blowing it, or not even blowing it, not even coming to show up to play football I will be discussing that as well. First and foremost, first game of the Saturday afternoon events, the Oakland Raiders, I was going to say Los Angeles Raiders, dating myself, the Oakland Raiders took their talents to Houston and lose to Brock Osweiler in the Houston Texans, where a lot of people didn't think Osweiler can get it done, winning this game 27-14, in which Oakland only had a touchdown early in this game. They had a they scored 7 points. The Texans jumped on them going into the half up by 2 possessions and basically did what they needed to do to nail the door shut on Connor Cook, because there is no Derek Carr at this point in time with his injury. Connor Cook, McGlone as well. Let me mention another quarterback that was injured. They were going with their third-string youngster out of Michigan State, which I like Connor Cook. I'm not going to lie. But he had no experience out there on an NFL field and was thrown into the wolves in a playoff fire. Tommy, your thoughts on this one with the Texans advancing and going up against the New England Patriots next week?
Let me first off and say I really hope the national championship's better than what the NFL playoffs were, because this first week was horrible. I'm sorry. It was an embarrassment. To the game, this is why I said, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago? Derek Carr should be the MVP. This proves it right now. Proves it. Because Oakland had didn't even look like a playoff team offensively. It was horrible. Ty, I watched a half and didn't even watch the second half of this football game because it was awful to watch. I watched women's basketball. It was horrible to watch. I mean, Houston didn't do any better. Let me tell you. They didn't look any better. So, I mean, I don't know. And Cleo Mack, I mean, he didn't show up. Bruce Irving didn't show up on defense. So, I mean, I don't know if Oakland just lost sale and looked defeated after Carr broke his leg. And Carr knew it was broke when it broke. If you haven't heard the video with the audio play of that, go to YouTube and look it. He's screaming, it's broke, it's broke. He knew his leg was broke. I don't know what happened. I mean, nobody showed up, it looked like, for Oakland. I don't know if they thought it was done, it was over, or what. But it was awful to watch.
I am going to say this. I feel bad for the Oakland Raiders because of all of the work that they did being 12-14 throughout the regular season, watching their quarterback go down at the end of the season, and not only with their, you know, starting quarterback, but their second stringer as well go down, and having to go with a youngster like Connor Cook putting a lot of pressure on them and basically standing up saying that he wasn't ready. You're right, he wasn't ready. They were saying that he didn't even take snaps with the practice squad, let alone all of the first-team snaps, because they said Derek Carr was doing everything with the first team. So McGlone had the experience with the practice squad. Cook had no experience nowhere. He was just the third-string guy and still had to go out there, in which this is where I think a lot of this could have been lost. Up front, the Raiders already were missing their all-pro offensive lineman, who basically, and this is Donald Penn, by the way, who was basically keeping Carr harmless. The one sack that he gave up cost Carr the season. Crazy in itself, right? So that's one, knowing that he didn't have that good protection that they, you know, believed in on a, you know, game-by-game, week-by-week basis situation. Two, I'm going to be biased in saying this, and this is me personal opinion, how I throw this out there. Even though the targets were there, he only had 2 catches out of 10 targets. But if Amari Cooper doesn't touch the ball more than 4 or 5 times a game, the Raiders are going to lose. I don't care who else is touching the ball. Let alone Crabtree had 2 catches. Clyde Walford, I'm a diehard Hurricane fan. I would love to see him get the ball out. He only had two targets and had two catches as well. Andre Holmes was the guy that led the team in receptions with Rivera with four catches. Other than that, it was a long day for Connor Cook to make connections in a passing game, in which it wasn't like Osweiler was some world beater on the passing side of the ball, but he did get the most important guy the ball in DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins had five catches, a touchdown, 67 yards as well. And, of course, like I said, I'm a Hurricane fan. Lamar Miller got to pay dirt and scored a touchdown as well. 31 carries, though. His longest run was for 19 yards. There wasn't too much offensive production on both sides of the ball. And looking at what the Raiders did outside of their running game, Connor Cook only had seven yards less passing than Osweiler. So, I mean, not to say like that's a stat to hang on, but they try. They try to get this game in, which I think the Texans defense did what they could up against this third string youngster fresh out of college up in Michigan State. But now the question is if they can go up to Foxborough and get it done, in which the last time that they played New England was this year. They had J.J. Watt. They lost the game. But not only did they lose the game, they got shut out 27-0. I still remember this game vividly. I thought the Texans would actually give them a game the way that the Texans came out of the gate. And Tom Brady and company, and it wasn't even Tom Brady. This was the Brissett game. This is Jacoby Brissett and company that shut them out. So, Tommy, your thoughts on this before we do get away from it?
Yeah, one more thing. Crabtree, catch the damn ball. You know, I mean, this dude dropped so many passes. And I remember him coming out of college holding out because he wanted a bigger contract. I've never, besides Odell or the drama queen that we will get to, Crabtree's got to catch the ball. It's ridiculous how many drops he's hit. I mean, you got a quarterback that hasn't even taken snaps in practice. And he throws the ball to you, you got to help him out and catch the ball. Todd, to get to the Houston, New England, have you seen the line for this already? Have you seen what Vegas put this as already on a Monday?
I did not see it, but what did the line come out as?
16 points. 16 points.
Look, and this is the crazy part about Vegas right now. A lot of people are going to probably jump New England's way because of how high that number is. I think that they will keep it close. I think they will keep it close. I'll be stunned if the Texans go up there and get it done. I will be stunned, especially with Osweiler. But I don't think that they'll get that three-possession win. They can. Don't think that I'm sitting here saying that Brady can't mop these guys up, because believe me, if there wasn't any Nevada involved, I think he could terrorize these dudes. But I feel like there could be something there, because everybody and their mother would just be dumping money out to New England. But that's neither here nor there. Like I said, we'll see how that does pan out. Shout out to Houston to actually winning the less fortunate game, shall I say, because everything that was in front of Osweiler, if Savage was still available or healthy, he probably would have been starting over Osweiler. Osweiler came in there and did some flashes here and there, but it wasn't like he was a world beater. He didn't look like he had Super Bowl team experience. I don't want to say he was the quarterback, but he was, you know, the backup for Peyton, and actually, you know, everybody knows the story on how it went down last year. Let me get away from this game because I cannot wait to get to the next game. I can't. I wanted to talk about this yesterday. I couldn't because everything that was going on in Sports City with chefs alike. But the Detroit Lions being hosted by the Seattle Seahawks in the state of Washington lose the game 26-6, in which at halftime this was a close game, 10-6, still a feasible game for the Lions, and that was that. That was that. Nothing else happened. nothing else to see here. The 12th man and everything else involved with this game kicked in, and the Seahawks did what they needed to do, knowing that they had the experience in the postseason to get it done. The one thing that I look at with the Lions is how the injury bug stung them at the right time, at the beginning of the season, the midway portion of the season, and it carried all the way throughout the end of the season. Now, I'm not, believe me, I'm not trying to make any excuses by any manners of, you know, I'm not. The one thing that I look at with the head on down, I don't even, because there's a lot of people, and by the way, I'm a part of a lot of Detroit Lions pages and everything, and a lot of people that are on these pages are, oh, you should get rid of Caldwell, forget all of his mild manner, he don't care, he don't use any timeout, so on and so forth. He's been coaching this team for 3 seasons. He's been coaching since 2014 with this season, right? With this team, excuse me. 2014-2015 season, he goes 11-5. They go to a playoff bid. Everybody knows how that playoff game ended. They're up by a full possession. Brandon Pettigrew runs his route. The pass interference call, so on and so forth. I'm not getting into it because I know I have Dallas fans that listen. I'm not even going to get into that. But unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys get the ball back. Romo scores the touchdown. They go on and play Green Bay Packers. Interesting, they play the Green Bay Packers again, but this time it takes place in Jerry's world. And this is the catch part two. Because the catch part one was Calvin Johnson up against the Chicago Bears. The catch part two is Dez Bryant up against the Green Bay Packers. In the playoffs, he caught the ball, loses control of the ball. They said there's no catch, right? So this is revisited from that season, right? So be it. Season two with Jim Caldwell, he goes 7-9, which was last year. They missed a 500 season by one game last year where Stafford rattles off the last 6 of 7 games of the season. A lot of people said that he had the best second half of the season, but it was too little too late. This season, he helps his team get to 9-7, where they had a 9-4 start to the season, lose the last 3 with injuries to Stafford on his finger, losing Theo Riddick as well for the last 4 games, including the postseason game as well, and the question marks on defense with the injuries that they had as well. This bothers me because in two out of the 3 seasons, he had a winning record. 2 out of the 3 seasons, he went to the playoffs, but yet if he falls short, everything's on his shoulders more than anybody else on the team, which I guess they have to find somebody to pin the tail to. But I'm one that says you might as well keep Caldwell there because there's no time for this Lion team to rebuild while Stafford is approaching, I think, year 8, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's approaching year 8, yes. In which, I'm a critical fan. So I'm like, Stafford has to match up against the elite, right? Opinionated or not, this is how I feel about him. Stafford will not be able to contend with the elites. As much as his stats are loaded, as much as he does good in the regular season in some of these games, he went up against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson showed up, in which the Detroit Lions defense was bringing pressure to Russell Wilson. They were getting the Russ. This is the second time that we played them in, 2 or 3 years? The last time we played them, they had 6 sacks on Russell Wilson. They were getting the Russell Wilson, getting the 3-and-outs and everything, and Stafford couldn't put points on the board. Couldn't get points on the board. I can't. As much as he has great offense, so on and so forth, I am not putting you in elite company. I'm sorry. People may feel some type of way. You feel some type of way, call in and talk to me. You know the number, 917-889-9592. But Caldwell, something has to give. Eric Ebron, there's no more excuses, brother. There's no more excuses. I've had to argue with almost everybody that follows and loves this Detroit team about you, saying that they need to cut you. The pick right after Eric Ebron in the draft that he was drafted in just a little while ago was guess who? None other than Odell Beckham Jr. So you mean to tell me at one point in time we could have had Calvin Johnson and Odell on the field together instead of Eric Ebron? Eric Ebron, prove these people wrong. But your mantra ever since you've gotten to the NFL is you can't block and you can't make critical catches. Prove these people wrong. And he was coming up with drops on third down. And Ebron, this has been continuing throughout the season. It can't happen any longer, man. I've been defending you for a while. I have. Oh, Anquan Boldin, as much as I respect you on a Lions field, I didn't respect you while you wore your college colors. Couldn't stand you while you wore your college colors. But 15-yard penalty after 15-yard penalty, almost threatened to get kicked out of the game because of some antic on the sideline and so on and so forth. They were letting people outside of the line get into their heads, and he's supposed to be a veteran. Like, he's supposed to be a veteran. DeAndre Levy, I wish he could get his act together. Looking like he might try to potentially walk out the door. We'll see how that pans out. The cornerbacks have their issues. I wonder what management is up to, not trying to bring any corner into the door. They're going to get no-namers. Like, they're really going to make a difference up against some of these big-time receivers. But great game by Russell Wilson in that offense, getting it done. Thomas Rawls having the best running day for a Seattle Seahawk running back. And I really looked into it. I thought Sean Alexander might be up there. I thought Beast Mode might be up there. Thomas Rawls had the best single-game effort in a playoff game in Seattle Seahawks history. In history. Up against this Lions defense. Tommy, your thoughts on this game where the Lions lose a game by 20 in the state of Washington?
Went the way I thought it would. What aggravates me the most is how after the game and on the next day, how the Lions complained about the officiating, that they couldn't get a call. And that's why they lost the game. Oh, so it was the ref's fault that Rawls rushed for 161 yards. It was the official's fault that your leading rusher had 34 yards. It was the referee's fault that Jones was your leading reception for 4 catches, 81 yards. But it's the referee's fault. Yes, there were some calls, I ain't gonna lie, that were questionable. The pass interference with the face mask, okay. And yeah, it could go either way. But to sit there and say that's what cost you, no, it wasn't. It was because they lined up and ran that football right down your throat and you couldn't stop it. Now, I will say that Matthew Stafford, the finger that was his middle finger or the ring finger that was hurt, you could tell that was a big difference because he wasn't accurate. But I'm sorry. You can't blame the officials when you go, what? I don't think you won a game in the end of November to December. You didn't win, if I'm correct. I mean, sorry. You can't blame the official.
They won in December. They won in December.
I mean, we'll have to see what happens. We get a rematch of the whole thing. Of course, this time it's in Seattle. It's in Atlanta, but we get another rematch. And we know what happened the last time these two teams played.
Okay, we will jump into that. But like I said, it's interesting how this did unfold. Another thing with the Detroit Lions, if Zach Vinner continues to run the ball the way that he's done for the latter portion of this season in the first half and you're running him, cut him then. Cut him if you don't want him to run the ball. This dude is his first run of the game, he picked up 17 yards. And they barely want to run him. Michael Bennett was talking about him in a good note, calling him a white running back. Like people were thinking that he was trying to get racist. He was like, no, this dude is a problem. And he still was picking up yards, and that defense was concerned about him. And you stop running the ball. Like, I don't get it. If you don't want him, cut him because he has a ton of talent. I don't want to see him cut. Believe me, personally, no. Let him run the ball and let him do his thing. But, again, here goes Detroit. Relying on the arm of Matt Stafford while he's injured. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Nevada, I see you. I just want you to know, Nevada, I see you. Okay. The next game, which took place Sunday afternoon, the Pittsburgh Steelers go up against the backup and Matt Moore from the Miami Dolphins, winning this game 30-12, in which they got that 12 late in the game. I don't know what I can say about this game. All I know is the Steelers took care of business early, and they tried to make up a storyline saying that Ben Roethlisberger was in a walking boot after the game. I didn't really see him stumbling off the field or limping, but, hey, protect your quarterback. That's your big investment. an elite quarterback. Yes, Matthew Stafford. That's what I call elite. Ben Roethlisberger is an elite quarterback. I'm going to give him that. Have to play like that. He plays through injuries. Against your boy, former Ndamukong Suh, you know, like that front seven that they have creating havoc. He took care of business. They scored the ball as much as they could to take them out of the game. They had a 30-6 point lead at one point. Tommy, your thoughts on your division rival Pittsburgh Steelers up against the Miami Dolphins?
Well, let me see. I don't know. I mean, this whole game came down to one play. Right before halftime, Miami was driving, had a chance to cut this lead down, to be down, what, 6-7 points before halftime. And I believe it was James Harrison come off that edge and they forced a fumble. That was ball game. I'm sorry. That was ball game. It was done. I don't know, understand what the hell Miami was thinking beginning of the game. I mean, what was it, 3 plays and they scored? They ran that little screen play and Brown took it right down the sideline. And there was one drive to where it was just Bell the whole time. They just lined up and said, okay, we're just going to play smash mouth football and run the ball right down your throat. They didn't throw the ball. They didn't sub Brown or Bell out and bring in anybody. It was Bell right down their throat. I mean, I guess he rolled up a blunt and lit it up and smoked it real good for it. Because, I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, I don't know if Miami spent too much time on South Beach instead of getting ready for New Year's Eve or what. But, I mean, they didn't show up to play at all in Pittsburgh. At all. Now, with the whole bend in a walking boot and wah, I'm sick and tired of this drama queen. I am so sick and tired of it with this dude. Every little thing, hey, I'm in a walking boot, let's make a big deal out of it. And then the next day, there's nothing wrong. Now the day is coming out, the MRI comes back, there's nothing severe and there's nothing bad. Stop it. I'm sick and tired of this drama queen. And that's exactly what he is. I'm done.
Is he an elite quarterback?
No.
Get out of here. Stop. There's no
way.
You
expect me to say anything else? Really? Do you really think I'm going to say anything else?
I know. I had to. It's worth it. I'm sorry. I needed a good laugh. But I respect you. And, oh, by the way, another record was broken. We were talking about Thomas Rawls. Well, Le'Veon Bell up against that front seven of Miami. Well, Le'Veon Bell broke a Pittsburgh Steelers single-game rushing record, having over 160 yards rushing. He finished with 167, breaking a record that was held by Franco Harris in the 70s. Up against his defense. I think it could have been a portion of the situation where the Miami defense could have been tired with them being on the field for a long time. But Pittsburgh advances, moving on into this playoff divisional round, in which they are to take on the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead. So this is going to be that game is popcorn. I need my popcorn for that. I'm putting on extra butter for that one for real, because that is a must-see TV game. Ben, I hope you're putting it together, because I don't want to hear any excuses if you lose or any excuses if Kansas City wins. I want this to be a clean fought game, and rightfully so. I feel bad if Alex Smith gets it, because I've been talking junk about Alex Smith at least for the past 5-6 years. I've been talking junk about him. I have been, so I deserve it if something happens. Moving right along, right?
Oh,
the nightcapper, in which I thought this would be the get your popcorn ready game. I'm not going to lie. I thought this was it. I thought this was going to be it. Because the last two times Eli Manning, who a lot of people out here claim to be an elite quarterback, they claim it. The last two times he went out to Green Bay, he won. He beat Aaron Rodgers. And the time before that, he beat Brett Favre. They lose this game big on the road, 38-13, in which Aaron Rodgers not only said that they need to win out, he has not lost since he has made that damn statement. I'm frustrated because my boy went in front of this damn buzzsaw too, in which I've seen the same recipe. That's right, we're in the kitchen, so I'm saying recipe, that he did last year on the fake face mask call where they gave him one more play and he threw the 60-something yard Hail Mary and hit Richard Rodgers at the goal line. He falls into the end zone. Well, same situation, different player, different location. This time is Randall Cobb in the back of the end zone, and no Giants defender jumps at the ball at all. They don't even try to break the pass up. Nobody swatted or anything. All they saw was the ball go over their heads, and Randall Cobb was behind the pack and caught it. And caught it. When I seen him catch that pass, I felt like the State Farm commercial was going on when Randall Cobb said, "Your stuff is on fire." Woo-woo, call the fire department. I seen that pass. I said, "Are you serious?" Both of my hands on top of my head, looking at the screen like, I can't believe this happened again. Now, I live right here in the tri-state area / New England area of the United States of America, and everybody and their mom is talking about one person and one person only. And you guys can all figure who they're talking about, right? You can all figure who they're talking about.
Can I take a wild guess?
Hold on. I'll get to you. Hold on. Just hang on. Tommy even alluded to it before we even got to this portion of the show. Everybody out here, whether it's the Daily News, whether it's the Post, whether it's New York Times and their sports features, sport news networks out here speaking on Odell Beckham and the receiving corps that he actually had go with him down to Miami to go chill on a yacht with Justin Bieber. Now, who's to say that they were down there drinking or whatever, so on and so forth? I doubt it. I don't even want to put alcohol or anything that they may have done involved with this, but it's the playoffs. Like, I feel you should be focused on what's in front of you. That's how I feel. But knowing what Odell brings to the table, it's like, hey, I back off of you. Because I know at any given time he can touch the ball, he can get to the house. He can get to the house. Corners are saying he don't want to deal with it. But I find it funny, Odell, that you dropped four passes, two of which were in the end zone, touchdown passes where you had the secondary burned. Not burned. Like they were like they probably still have second degree burns on their bodies because how bad he was blowing on the secondary. This is what I give the Green Bay Packers credit, is that their defense doesn't do a lot, but Rodgers does just enough to keep these guys in play for these games. Four passes, two were touchdown catches that he let go, and he has to address the media. Now, in which a statement comes out today from, guess who, people? Eli Manning. Eli Manning comes up with a statement that says, well, if you're going to go to South Beach, at least back it up. People, I am not the biggest Eli Manning supporter or fan at all. Everybody that's up here that knows me, that big blue fan, so on and so forth, know that I go at them with Eli, but they always say, well, Eli got two Super Bowl wins away, but the Stafford guy. Listen, I understand. I respect this gangster. He had a Super Bowl win, so on and so forth. But this time, Eli Manning, I'm siding with you. Because those passes were on the money. Not only was it Odell dropping passes, but Sterling Shepard, your youngster, was dropping passes too. And he was on that damn yacht too. So I understand where Eli's coming from. It's not like Eli is Peyton. He's not Peyton. But he's doing just as much damage as Peyton would do. Just as much damage as he would do. So the Giants end up falling short. I don't want to say like they are pointing fingers, but they are pointing fingers. Tommy, your thoughts on this game and what happened in between the lines?
Yeah, let me sweeten this up with a little spice, too. Have you heard the other excuse that people are putting out there now? Because this is hilarious. Odell Beckham, a.k.a. to me, drama queen, crybaby, center of attention. Let me throw a hissy fit so everybody talk about me. Can I play in the cold? Wait a minute. Wait a minute, what? You can't play in the cold. You play in New York. The Northeast. Last time I checked, it's cold in January, December, November in New York / New Jersey. So get that shit out of here. I'm sorry. That's ridiculous. I don't care if you're from the South and everything else. You've been in New York long enough to where you can get used to the cold. It's not like you're a rookie coming from Louisiana State. I'm sorry. It's not happening. You've been there long enough. I mean, I don't understand the play before halftime. Why they don't – somebody on the defense jumps. Nobody jumps. How do you let Kyle get behind you? Do something. Jordy Nelson spent the night in the hospital, has been released. The last I heard, he had two fractured ribs. He will be out next week or this coming weekend. So, I mean, that could be a big key. Big key. I mean, it just seems like Green Bay just keeps getting players injured, and finding somebody else to plug in. I mean, the Giants, I have no clue. I was with Utah. We talked yesterday before the show who we thought would win. I went with Green Bay. But I also told you I could see the Giants winning this too. This is going to be the best out of all the games, I thought. And it laid an egg. I mean, I guess you could say it was close up until halftime. And then third quarter, and it was like it just got bad. I mean, it got bad.
So now I look at this situation that's going on with not only – Eli being kind of, he's kind of frustrated with Odell and company heading down to South Beach. But not only that, this is a comfortable situation for Eli going up to Wisconsin and winning. Now he loses, in which, just like I said, it kind of looks like the cards were in line for this thing to go down with the Green Bay Packers and the Cowboys to go at it once again, where the Cowboys can try to redeem themselves after the catch in the season that Dak and Zeke have been having. This actually sets up for a better opportunity to knock off the Green Bay Packers, in which, just like Tommy alluded to, Jordy Nelson getting hit in his ribs. I'm wondering how severe the situation is. They're saying that he's iffy, but I think there is no way Jordy Nelson misses this game. He has to be one of the toughest receivers in the league. I can care less if people want to throw race into it and say, oh, he's the toughest white receiver. I don't care what race. Believe me, I'm putting Jordy Nelson up against the league's best. I don't care who it is. He has home run speed, and he's tall. Period. And he's strong. So if you want to play physical with him, you'll get burnt because he got kickoff return speed. So go ahead and try to jam him because he'll burn you. He'll burn, and he can beat you up top, too. So pick your poison. I really hope that it's a fair fight, but the Packers are actually limping into Jerry's world also. I don't like the way that they're limping into it, but I like the scenario for both NFC divisional games, with both of them being rematches with the Cowboys and the Packers, and the Battle of the Birds with the Falcons and the Seahawks. I like it. I do like it. We will be talking about these matchups all throughout the week. Tommy, anything else that you would like to add to it before we move on?
Nope. I just hope the four games are better than what we watched this past weekend.
Okay. Now, without any further ado, Sports City, we are now here. January 9, 2017, Monday Night Football. That's right. But not NFL, people. Not NFL. We're going to take it down a level. We're going to take it down a level. We're going to go Division I National Championship Football, in which, just like I said, the cliche all night is, this is the rematch, fool. This is the rematch. Clemson loses this game last year, big up against Derrick Henry and company. Nick Saban is one win away from tying Bear Bryant all time. And this is all Alabama too. This is what frustrates me about Alabama football, because their history gets it. I respect it. Tommy, your ins and outs of this one, offense, defense, special teams, wherever you like to start, we can hit it, and then we'll pick the winner later on. Your thoughts on this matchup? I'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I'll save the best for last.
I mean, I guess if you want to go offense, just everything that's gone on in the past, what, week offensively for them? I mean, Sarkisi's in. I mean, calling the plays, how's that affect them? How's this going to affect? I mean, I'm really hoping. I mean, Clemson's going to be Clemson. I mean, Clemson put up 40 last year, and their two top receivers were out, Williams and King. So, I mean, they're back. Supposedly, Alabama's defense is better than last year. I don't know. Their D line might be better overall, but I'm very interested to see how the offense works. And if I'm Clemson's defense, I'm lining up, putting 8 men in the box and saying, you're not running against me. Redshirt freshman, true freshman, whatever it is, you're beating me throwing the football. Can he line up, if that's what Clemson does, and throw the football against his Clemson defense?
So you don't think that they will have success throwing the ball up against Clemson D? That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying they won't have success. I think this could be just like it was last year. This could come down to special teams. I really do. If you remember, that's what won this for Alabama last year.
Well, Derrick Henry had a big day, too, last year. Don't forget, Henry had a big day running the ball, too.
Yeah, but this game was tied last year. Going to the fourth quarter. What was it? Mid-fourth quarter, and Bama tied it up. Instead of kicking it off, they went for an onside kick and recovered it. And then Drake took a kickoff return all the way back, and that's what won it. Now, Dabo says they didn't lose this. They didn't lose last night or last year. They ran out of time. Hey, you got 60 minutes to play tonight. Let's see what you can do. I'm telling you, I wouldn't have to pick the winner yet. But you know who I'm rooting for. Everybody knows who I follow and what conference they're in.
For sure. Offensively, if Hurts doesn't throw that pick, because it's like I said the other day, to me, he's like Willie Beeman. Once he sees the ball get picked off or something, then he comes to play. If he plays that type of football, doesn't get picked off or gets rattled on the offensive side of the ball, Alabama could run away with this. They can. I'm not going to say that they will. I feel like Clemson has too much on their shoulders riding on this matchup. But for him to be a true freshman, fresh out of high school, and be able to manage this team to be in a national championship situation and everybody respond to him speaks volumes on how great Alabama is. I feel bad that I'm throwing this at them, but Alabama's a great team. That tide is rolling for real. I really do feel bad for Clemson and Sweeney. I think Dabble will probably make this a game. I think that this can be an anybody type of game situation. Deshaun Watson could be the potential MVP, but something about Nick Saban and how their defense that I'm getting there now enforces the line of scrimmage. Now, can the Clemson Tigers force turnovers? That is the question that I have for you, Tommy. Can they turn Alabama over more than just in their passing game? Can they get these running backs to fumble? Can they get a receiver or a tight end to fumble? Can they get a fumble to happen on special teams? Can they do something interesting outside of the norm to knock off Alabama tonight?
Yeah, I think they can. This defense is determined. I mean, I think they can. This team will hit you. These running backs, I mean, we know the running backs for Alabama is going to bring it. So right. this could be very fun to watch. This game might come down to whose defense can get the most turnovers or whose defense can score on turnovers. It's going to be fun. I really think so.
I think so, too. Go ahead.
This is why Alabama's – one reason why Alabama's undefeated. What turned that game last week or New Year's Eve, Ty? What turned that Washington game around? A pick six. This is how Alabama's defense – yes, their offense is good. This is how Alabama wins a lot of games this year, was defense of turnovers, and then they score on that. Clemson's got to cut that down. Watson will throw one or two picks, I predict.
What
does
or
Alabama
two?
Pick it and score?
Wow. Get your popcorn ready, people. The one thing that has me concerned is the free spirit of Dabble Sweeney, even though I know he don't take no mess up under or against the general. I call Nick Saban the general. The style of play of both of these coaches, how the team responds to him, knowing that Clemson was just in this place last year watching, you know, Saban getting done with the Gatorade bath and them enjoying another national championship being brought to Tuscaloosa. I know that has to be bulletin board material for the Tigers. Hopefully they take it personal. There's no other way for them to take this. Hopefully the Tigers take it personal and snatch this one from the Tide. This is the only way that it can happen. They have to take it from them. They have to take it. And anything else that you like to throw or add into scenarios or things to watch for in this game, Tommy?
I mean, besides Alabama, if they score on defense or if Watson can or whoever, running backs, wide receivers, the special teams, whose special teams, and that's punt return, kick return, kickers, I mean, because Alabama's kicker has been struggling. So after, what is it, I think 40 yards or back. Now, I know that's a far kick, but does Nick Saban have the confidence for him to kick? Or will he go for it? Because he has been struggling.
Can the Clemson Tigers get past that line of scrimmage? Knowing that's what Nick Saban makes critical in each and every game, he says they enforce the line of scrimmage. I watched them do it to LSU. I watched them do this last round and make sure nobody gets past the line of scrimmage. Can these guys hit the hole and make sure that they don't get wrapped up at the line or behind the line of scrimmage and move the chains as much as possible and make Alabama respect them in both phases of the offensive part of their game? They have to. He has to complete some passes and not those screens either. He has to complete the pass downfield. So. Okay, so we got 10 minutes here left into the show. Tommy, is there a topic that you'd like to address, throw out around here at the wrap-up?
Yep. I was hoping we'd get to it, because if not, I was going to close out with it. I'm bringing a little college basketball. Ty, you know where I'm going with this. Grayson Allen. NCAA, ACC, I'm ashamed of you. I'm disgraceful. Mike Krzyzewski, Duke University, I'm disgraceful and ashamed of you all. I didn't have much respect for you. I really don't have any now for you. Either anybody. Grayson Allen, everybody knows. He tripped two players last year. He tripped another player this year in Elon. And then threw a little rich boy tensor tantrum because he got caught and got a technical. So Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, sets him. That would have been the Virginia Tech game that he got set. They got blitzed. They got ran out of the building. So the next game, the next game, Mike Krzyzewski says Grayson Allen's playing. So he had no problems. Everything was good and everything else. Then it comes out, Mike Krzyzewski needs back surgery again. The next game, that would have been Saturday, someone sets a screen for Boston College. Grayson Allen fights through it, throws his back leg up, and tries to trip somebody. ACC comes out and says they're not sure, pretty much saying they're not sure if he was trying to trip him or whatever. So they're not going to do anything. Once again, I'm going to say it again. This is the bias of Duke in the ACC. If this would have been any other player, besides North Carolina, because obviously North Carolina can do what they want to because they have fake classes and give free grades. And once again, the ACC or the NCAA is not doing anything to them either. So obviously the North Carolina schools can do what they want. Besides them two, this would have been anybody from my Hurricanes, Syracuse, Wake Forest, whoever. And they would have been tripping these players. They would have been suspended. And supposedly this last incident Saturday, Duke's not doing anything. And of course, Mike Krzyzewski's not, I guess, technically the head coach. He's saying he's staying out of it. We know why he's staying out of it. He doesn't want his reputation ruined.
Okay, well, I tell you, man, the stars are all in line, man. I can't wait to get in front of this screen to see how it goes down. I'm going to have my head on the swivel. I have to worry about the Bulls and the Thunder game. I also have to worry about the national championship going down. I'm wondering if Clemson's offense could stun Alabama's defense, or is Nick Saban the best college football coach alive? That is what people have to think about right now. Is he the best college football coach alive? Right now, I say yes. The Grayson Allen situation, I don't know how to measure this one, man. I mean, I think it's like a natural habit that he has, swinging his foot around and making things happen within the ACC. This is his fourth situation that he's had happen as recent as of this week. Coach K takes a leap because he having back surgery. I like Grayson Allen's game, but one game suspension, I question. Hopefully the committee gets this right. I doubt if they go backwards on it. I think they're going to just let him play and move forward. I don't think they need to waste time, especially while they're in conference play. Hopefully they just, you know, watch him closer. Next time it happens, the NCAA or the ACC is going to have to take a stand and not leave it up to Coach K. They can't. They can't leave it up to him. But we'll see. Like I said, there's a lot more for him to learn. He's apologized the last time. I don't think that he meant it, especially while doing it again. But they didn't come after him this time. Like I said, we'll see. This is the flawed ACC. This is the flawed ACC. They try to say the ACC is the best conference in college basketball. I beg to differ. I still beg to differ. Okay. Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote or any other topic before we do close up. We do have 4 minutes left. I do have 4 minutes. If you have another topic that you'd like to throw out there before we do start to shut it down, please do.
What's your thoughts on Manny Ramirez going to Japan to play in a baseball league over there? I believe it's not the actual pro league. It's the independent, I believe. The independent Japanese league. 44-year-old Manny Ramirez.
I think Manny is too old to be trying to play ball. Now, here's the thing about Manny, him at the plate. I'm not going to lie, I'm a Twins fan, and I feared him at the plate, and I wasn't even pitching. I know Manny could just, he can make contact and get on the base, or he can make contact and take your pitcher so far out of the park that he wish he never threw that fastball there again. Never. Never. So I respect him at the plate, but off of the plate, Manny is still vulnerable, at least to me.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be a DH league. He's not going to have to play the field. He's just going to have to line up there and hit the ball hard and far.
Okay, Tommy, well, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the wrap up.
We picking the winner for tonight, too?
Oh, of course, of course, of course. So I need your winner in the national championship as well. I'm sorry that I did not ask you that question.
With everything, everyone, I mean, all you're hearing, I've been watching the four-letter network, is Nick Saban, Bill O'Brien, and everything else. Something's just not fishy. Something's fishy somewhere. I would be shocked if Alabama won this. Would not. But everybody knows my feeling about the money SEC. My heart, my guts are with the ACC. It's been with the ACC since I was little. Well, I actually take that back because I was with the Big East. But ever since, was it 2005? I've been with the ACC ever since. I'm riding with my ACC. I'm going Clemson. Close out. I just want to thank you, Ty, for helping me this weekend and everything else. I really love you like family. Thank you.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the vlogs, the chefs. I will. I don't know who I want to go for. You know what? I don't know if I want to go with the Tigers or Roll Tide, man. At least they both got the tie in it. They both got the tie in it. You know what? I believe in second chances. I'm going to go for you, Clemson. I'm going for you, Clemson. Even though I do like Alabama, I do like them, but I think Clemson avenges the rematch. I think they get it done. If not, Nick Saban is the best college football around alive, toting a clipboard, especially while kicking Lane Kiffin off at the right time or the wrong time. I don't know if that's the right thing to say, but hey, this will be the first time we see somebody make this type of assessment at the right point in time. But we'll see. I'm not a big Lane Kiffin fan, especially I don't support the move right now anyway. Going to Florida Atlantic, you're not going to win a national championship there in at least the next 12 years, at least. I mean, all the college football has to fall flat on that face. SportsCityChefs.com, check out the website, the interviews, the vlogs. The chefs will be back here tomorrow cooking this thing out on the grill. Y'all get here, stay focused, Sports City. We'll have a lot to talk about. Or on that note, tell a friend, it's the chef again. And if they don't know, the Thunder are visiting the Bulls too. Now you know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better? Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight.
Yeah.
So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming I'm using keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby. I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts, you making up slack.
In the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smoke shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny, lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I kick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, bad gun, ridiculous. And I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Two auto, mattos, used to call me Fatso. Now you call me Castro, my rap flows. Militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Cristal, keep spilling shit. You overdid it, Holmes, you in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me, the most shady. Frankie baby, fantastic, graphic, trying to make dough like Jurassic. Park in, pick the spark kids who start shit. See me, only me, the underboss of this holocaust, truly yours, right, right.
I got the real live shit from front to back, to my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back, to my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at?
Put your money on the table and get your math on. Break it down, split it up, get your laugh on. See you later, dog, I'ma get my stash on. There's a bag full of money that I get my ass on. I never lose the passion to go platinum. That I live it up to all the cash on. Ain't that funny? Only use plastic, crafted to make plastic. Hotter than active, PD. Blowing on your tape of CD. The billboard killer, no team killer. The famo, ammo, is every channel. We've been hot for a long time, burning like a candle. What you can do is check your distribution. My song bump is Houston like Starbucks producer. You ain't got it like me, you just mad cause I tell her how it is and you tell her how it might be.
We got this shit mapped tight, brass knuckles and flashlights. The heaters and the two seaters with two meters. Senoritas, kiss rings when you meet us. P. Diddy run the city, show no pity. I'm the witty one, Frank the crook from the brook. Maddie broke the neck of your coconut. No respect, squeeze off to all y'all diminished. Shootouts for 20 minutes until we finish. Then it's to the loop, escape in the coupe, break bread with the kiss. Panero, Sheik loose, Black Rob join the mob. It ain't no replacing him, niggas step up. We just macing them, placing them in funerals. Criminals turn the vows to Brick City. Nobody come off like P. Diddy. Business wise, I play men. Hide money on the island, Cayman. Y'all just betray men, we spray men. Opposition, competition of a day in the life of the commission.
We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. Where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit.
Can y'all hear me out there?
What y'all niggas wanna do?
It's all fucked up.